Turkey, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute past the hour on this, the fourth day of July, 2016, and this is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to be a part of the madcap rollicking merriment that is the chat room. Good evening to Jug of Punch and Ken Tucky and Labor Man and Little Gray and MG and Steve from Georgia Stan, Tim from L.A., all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has put off folding space for another day because the man cave is unbearable. Yeah. No, it isn't, Tim. Tim says it's 6:51 p.m. No, it is not. It is now 6:02 p.m. and 14 seconds in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid, and, well, it's been an interesting afternoon. I had planned all weekend to be here this evening, and that plan was in full force and effect until, a couple hours ago, when everything seemed to kind of go sideways and I shut the entire studio down. I've been down there. I've seen this movie before. We got a tornado warning. Not a watch, but a warning. It landed on Agnes's phone and my phone, and suddenly we went into sweat condition alpha because tornado warnings are not something with which to fool. No, not in the least. A watch, but a watch is just be mindful, be alert. A warning means they've been sighted. A warning means one has happened. It's not conditions are favorable for, it's, oh shit, there's one on the ground, run. And we got one of those. And it was it included our area, but it was for a mite west of us. And then about 15 minutes later, the flash flood warning landed. You know, this time of year is getting a little bit interesting here in Appalachistan. It really is. 4 years ago, it was the derecho. Then, what, exactly 4 months later, I think, we got the backside of super Hurricane Sandy and got, 10 inches of snow in like 15 seconds. And if you want to see a really, really bizarre, sort of unsettling graphic, run on over to, you can do it while you listen, it's no big deal. Run on over to www.wvgazettemail.com. Click on the headline of the story by Ken Ward Jr. Climate change makes flood more likely, more damaging, experts say. What you will see there is a radar map of the recent rainfall. And that area that includes, oh, you'll see, Babcock State Park and Bingham, Montgomery, Anstead. That gray area in there is, you know, where I live. And that gray area there is rain in excess of 10 inches in, so that, but, you know, remember, climate change is the greatest fraud ever perpetrated upon mankind. Just ask Jim Inhofe. He brought a snowball into the United States Senate in the dead of winter. So, you know, he'd know. But this time through, I put out a note saying, sorry, I'd planned on being on the air, but I'm not gonna fool with it. Because, you know, I've been through a few tornadoes. And they're not particularly fun. And they can be quite particularly deadly. And while it's not quite the same as, having a tornado out in Oklahoma where Jesus squashes churches with his tornadoes like, you know, as if they were anthills. It's still nothing particularly pleasant. Now, we're still under a severe thunderstorm watch warning something. But I'm actually seeing some, and it's not surprising. I mean, I'm off to the west where the tornadoes were, and it's so often the case. The tornado blows through, and then right behind it is, you know, blue sky. And so there's actually some evening light coming through from the west. I can see it through the Horn color weather window. We pay a lot for access to the Horn color weather window. Absolutely. You can just see the clear sky in the west, off past the hangar for our Gulfstream 5. Thank you very kindly to Brother Deacon Asa, noting loud and clear, kinda, on my circa 1720s Leupold drum, Brother Bob. I can imagine there might be some distortion. So, no, if you want to see that, I mean, that's just bizarre. I mean, we're a week past it, still deep in a mess. We traveled some yesterday and got to see, it's unnerving to see just great piles of debris by the side of the road and a FEMA showering station set up at a local volunteer fire department. But the article too is fascinating. And, you know, this is the 4th of July. This is Independence Day. Or the 240th anniversary of our own Brexit, as it's being described. Yeah. But even though it's the 4th of July, it's also Moran Monday. And you know how it goes with Moran Monday. I can only point out that Ken Ward Jr. has done an excellent job with this particular article because it's something that desperately needs to be said. Climate change makes flood more likely, more damaging, experts say. Ken reached out to a solid half dozen climate scientists, as he notes, from around the country, and asked them if there was any takeaway relative to climate change from the recent flooding. Among other things, Jake Crouch, who is with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's National Centers for Environmental Information, said the frequency is increasing and the intensity is increasing. I'll agree with that. At North Carolina State University and NOAA's National Climatic Data Center, Ken Kunkel told Ken Ward, "This is one of our most confident expectations for the outcome of continued global warming. Global warming will, with almost complete certainty, lead to higher amounts of water vapor in the atmosphere." Mm-hmm. It's an excellent article because it doesn't, you know, rub our little hillbilly noses in our climate denial and our insistence on, oh, I don't know, religious mythology or marketing and PR campaigns from the coal industry over actual science. And, you know, we all recall, we know nature bats last, and we know that science doesn't give a rat's ass what anybody believes. But there you go. I mean, it. I don't know. I don't know how Ken Ward does it. Because he labors against the tide in West Virginia. Let's see. Andrew Dessler, a professor of atmospheric sciences at Texas A&M University, said. And go figure, they acknowledge climate change at least a corner of Texas A&M University. Andrew Dessler said, one of the robust predictions of climate science is that the heaviest rain events will become more frequent as the climate warms. We have good statistical evidence that this is indeed occurring. Yeah, yeah. But way down about halfway into the article, Ken tucked in an Easter egg. In West Virginia, public officials ignore such warnings, he writes. Many of them question or ridicule the science, and officials at the federal and state level continue to vigorously oppose efforts by the Obama administration to force cuts in greenhouse gas emissions from coal plants. Generally, there is little focus in the public debate about such matters on the potential for serious local effects from changes in the climate system, though one state group, Friends of Blackwater's Allegheny Highlands Climate Change Impacts Initiative, has been trying to bring more attention to the issue. Meanwhile, the West Virginia Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management noted in a 2013 report, quote, climate change is both a present threat and slow-onset disaster. It acts as an amplifier of existing natural hazards. Extreme weather events have become more frequent over the past 40 to 50 years, and this trend is projected to continue. As climate science evolves and improves, future updates to this plan might consider including climate change as a parameter in the ranking or scoring of natural hazards. You might consider, but just might, not should, not ought to, not shall. It might, you know, if the coal industry would allow that to be done. If the frackers who routinely purchase our elected representatives here on the anniversary of this nation's Declaration of Independence would tolerate such a thing. Might consider. Meanwhile, one can't help wondering if the authors of that report are, you know, maybe, oh, I don't know, lost down a mine shaft somewhere now, or perhaps they have quit this place and gone somewhere that science has acknowledged to be real. Because, and this is a Moran Monday story after all you have to do is go down to the comments. Oh, Jesus, why do I go to the comments? Stay out of the comments! Because sometimes I like to just be proven right for the sheer delightful hell of it. And there he is, from Bluefield State College's own John Brown. Another day and another Chicken Little fable from the Rags original copy boy. Can he answer two questions for me? After the earth was formed, how many thousands of years went by without any change? And then tell me the year climate change actual begin. To give you a little help, change begin immediately, but only became big business when the liberal wackos found out they could make millions of dollars and control the weak-minded by spreading this the end is coming fear. I think that's three sentences. And then there's Tom Blank working at Self-Employed. Your hate for coal really can't be linked to the recent flood. We very well could be in some kind of change. Doubtful. Our weather is never really the same every day. I think more of evolution of the planet than man-made. Not surprised that you would be screaming the sky is falling, though. Maybe you should pick up a new cause. We have all heard this one. It's like blah, 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 blah every day. Neil Montgomery chimed in. He's chief executive officer at retired. Can do we, you OL Nino, an apology for laying all prior heavy weather periods on her? And to think you have made a career hatchet job in relating all prior flooding in the state to some form of coal mining. Also, will you admit that zero-ver night 10-inch rainfalls in the mountainous regions will result in flooding in the lower valley areas, whether coal is being mined there or not? And will you admit that the loss of taxes on coal mining has been, and will you continue to be, very detrimental on the state, period, not a question mark? School districts are truly suffering from the loss of coal tax. Do you not feel a bit guilty for your one-man assignation of the industry? Pathetic. Assignation of the industry. I'll say that's pathetic. Then there's Jeff Baumgartner of West Virginia University. Oh, alma mater, let me runnin'. Here's the real story, folks. The Gazette is a proven liar around much of everything, from its inability to condemn Robert Seabird's racism to concocting fake environmental studies indicating a highway through Snowshoe into Northern Virginia would not have any economic benefit to West Virginia's ski resort areas. You know, we really need, I really need to have a little chat with the dean of the Eberly College of Arts and Sciences about the core English curriculum requirement up there at WVU. Now you can expect a barrage of global warming blames each and every time a disaster occurs. President Obama lied once again when he stupidly stated hurricanes were a result of climate change, in spite of the fact hurricane incidences were down. I myself sent an email to the Gazette editor asking why the paper was not reporting on the unseasonably cold weather in May, and his answer was, they didn't do that sort of thing. Yes, this paper is made up for far-left zealots comfortable with lying each and every day, and they better be, because they have aided and abetted the destruction of coal. And they are doing it using a theory that continues to be shot full of holes because their previous predictions are always being revised. How is that hockey stick thingy going anyway? I mean, you just you click on comments and you know. You know, it's just it's like turning the lights on it in a nasty little apartment at 3 o'clock in the morning somewhere in the deep south, click, and it's like cockroaches. What's interesting though is that if you read the article, you'll find that there's no editorializing in it whatsoever. I mean, there's a quote from Stanford University climate scientist Chris Field, who said the most important three things people need to know that are that climate change is real, it's happening now, and all of us are vulnerable. That is because he hates coal! Jesus. My Gewalt. And me without no tequila. Yep, sun's almost out now, according to the Horn Color Weather Window. I wasn't gonna go on the air, but then I decided to. Partly because I took a walk outside. When you're in the oncoming path of something, this is gonna sound a little bit crazy. And that's okay. People who've been through this kind of thing will go, yep. One, if something's going to hit the fan, the first thing you'll notice when you walk outside is the birds have shut the up. No little chirpy chirpy. Mm-mm. No. And so I walked out about 15 minutes before airtime, and I noticed that my little feathered friends were all in the trees, chattering, chirping, singing merrily away. And that kind of told me we were in the clear. And then there was the smell. Didn't smell tornado-y. And that informed my decision. Had a pleasant weekend. I started on Saturday. Agnes and I, we determined to go over to our daughter and son-in-law's house. And do 4th of July ribbery and Northwest Alabama style orange pineapple homemade ice cream. Yes, it's that good. Hi, Tracy. And I posted a picture over on Facebook of the, because it really was, it was the rusted out old smoker's last hurrah. And no, we're not talking about me. We're talking about the physical unit. But did five racks of ribs. And I don't know if Todd's listening this evening. If you are, happy 4th, Todd. The ribs were smoked over a combination of cherry wood and pecan. And it was very nice. I mean, they got rubbed. They rested. Then they got soaked in apple juice and cider vinegar. And then they got wrapped in cheesecloth and resubmerged in the apple juice and cider vinegar. And they sat that way for a while, and then once the fire was built on Saturday evening, really, they went on, and they got painted with a marinade, mopped with a marinade, actually, I guess would be the better term. And they smoked overnight. Then we packed them up and took them on the road and finished them on a hot charcoal grill over at our son and daughter-in-law's house. Damn, they were good. I mean, good. Finished them with two different sauces. Oh, there's the thunder. Lovely. Finished them with a mustard-based sauce and a more typical Memphis-style sauce because I didn't have the time to make sauce. But there you go. And yes, the orange pineapple ice cream was easy and delicious. And no, it was not hand-cranked. And I've got a feeling, fall off the bone. Whew. Getting myself kind of hungry, and I don't, there's not a leftover in sight. We left the leftovers over there. Well, we brought a little bag of bones with us, but the stomach that walks on two legs found them a little bit ago, and I got two bones. So I don't know. Somewhere along the line, it's going to be time for a new smoker. I can't go that long without ribs and shoulders and things like that, or you know. Whole salmon fillets smoked on planks. No, Anatole says, any beer and or whiskey, Mr. Bob? No. I was driving. So there was no beer, no whiskey. And that's kind of more's the pity, but, you know, maybe that's the aftermath. Maybe a little after the show closes this evening, I'll have a cold and frosty glass of something. But it was a fun evening. The little ones jumped on the ribs and had a fine time. It's fun watching little youngins have their first experiences with stuff like this. They ran to me and said, "Opa, the ribs were so good." I said, "Eat more." "I can't. I'm full." Yeah. So that was our holiday weekend yesterday. We got home about midnight. And then got up this morning and started watching the weather because we knew there was crap coming. Because climate change is a great big leftist hoax. Fools. The mad fools. Right? Oh, and hey, 26 minutes past the hour, and I've got to send out some new greetings. Just got an overnight message from Stanislav in the Ukraine. "Hi there, I'm from Ukraine. I want to write the letter with gratitude who participated in providing this radio station for myself and my colleagues. Working most of the day at the computer, I listen to your radio station. It helps distract a little from the job at hand. We do appreciate you." Thank you, Stanislav. Thank you very much, and hello to everybody in the office there. And what this means is we now have a Ukrainian contingent of the Horn, because we already had a previous listener from the Ukraine. So maybe that's one of our new growth areas. So good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Good gracious, I don't even know what time it is in the Ukraine. But whenever you're listening, I hope and the entire Horn Family Community Congregation hopes that you enjoy. And hope you'll chime in anytime with your thoughts. Oh, wow. And it being a holiday and everything, we haven't heard from him in a while. Ron in Raleigh says, "I'm here in person. Worked an early 12-hour shift, so I'm here in person for the first time in weeks. Sitting in the glow of the old Philco console radio with my Horn Family secret decoder ring, waiting for today's secret message. Signed, Ron in Raleigh. P.S. What did I miss? The password is kumquat." Password's kind of always kumquat, but that's because kumquat's the most delightful word in the English language. And it's probably not even English, which is what makes it even more delightful. As for the subject line, shit weather sign, Brother Usher Steve in New York says, "My grandpa said it was when the leaves turned over and looked white. You heard of that one?" Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. Steve, Steve also said, subject line, ribs, "Please stop. I'm about to orgasm and I'm eating out." And I'm not touching that with a 20-foot battle lance. I'm just not. You can't make me. I won't. Thank you. 1:28 a.m. in Kiev. Good morning, Kiev! There, okay. All right, enough about the ribs. Oh, but I got a bargain on them. Paid about $5 a slab. When you walk away with five slabs of ribs for $25, you've done something. And they were even vacuum sealed. They might even have been pig. Oh, no, I got them up at the Wiggling Pig, so I know they were pig. And they were moist and tender and delicious. Yes. So I hope you have had a lovely Independence Day weekend. Do feel free to share your Independence Day thoughts, your Independence Day what'd you do's, whatever. Uh-oh. Well, he's been gone for a while, but he's not wasting any time. Bob, says Ron and Raleigh. Twice in two sentences you called Ukraine the Ukraine. Really, Bob? I know you know better. I do know better. I don't know. I don't know why I put that "the" there. Maybe it's because I grew up during the Cold War. My sincerest apologies. Now I've pissed off the Ukrainian contingent. Yeah, great. I'll try to make a note of it. Generally, you only have to. Oh, well, okay. The other secret password is eat more Ovaltine. Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, notes, that's what my secret decoder ring said. Ovaltine. I just could never become a fan. Oh, by the way, speaking of nature stuff, learned something last night. As it got dark enough, here's the first thing I learned. I guess because we've got a teabagger legislature, the ancient ban on fireworks that are actually fun in West Virginia has finally been lifted. So we can add something, another thing to the list of things the teabagger legislature has done for us. We can now get sick drinking raw milk. Anybody with enough gumption to put the money on the table who's over 21 can carry a concealed firearm anywhere in the state. And yes, you can buy high explosive, professional grade fireworks in just about any Walmart parking lot in the state and go and hope that you actually know how to use them. They were impressive as hell. You know, the big traditional whoom when they launch out of the mortar, and then the big bang and the big sparkles in the sky. And no, I didn't buy them. I'm constitutionally opposed to such. But I found out something. And I mean, this was one of those little nature moments. You really want Sir Richard Attenborough or somebody narrating. But when the shell goes up in the sky and explodes and all the little sparklers go winkety, 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 falling back to Earth, if you are in firefly season, which we are, you know, the little bug, not the aborted single season the science fiction series that really should have gone 5 or 6 years. But if you're in firefly season, after the fireworks go all sparkly, all the fireflies below start winking madly, which I think is kind of like the firefly equivalent of an erection. I think they immediately start trying to fly high enough to reach that blinky, sparkly thing. Oh, that's hot. I mean, it's really kind of unfair. Based on what I observed last night, it's like those shells are sort of the firefly equivalent of a strip joint or something. Who knew? I mean, how many other radio programs this evening are talking about libidinous fireflies? But the little ones enjoyed the fireworks, too. Oh, my gracious. Well, sooner... Oh, by the way, just a general reminder. Dr. Bill did a lovely job examining the Declaration of Independence today. And the podcast is already, I usually don't get his podcast loaded until about a little bit after I do my own. But I got it uploaded earlier today. Please feel free to download it. And it's over at whiterosesociety.org under Dr. Bill's name. Download it and share it around. It was one of the best explanations of the philosophy behind the Declaration of Independence I think you'll find anywhere. It's really special. Also, Dr. Bill's podcast will now begin or soon begin appearing on podbean.com. It's kind of convenient because you can use that platform and just drop it right into a Facebook post. So that's what Dr. Bill will be doing. And so you'll see his programs there if you're following him on Facebook. And he'll probably be making an entree onto Twitter soon, too. So there's that. Dr. Bill, of course, will be back starting at 1:30 p.m. weather permitting, starting at 1:30 p.m. tomorrow. Because on Tuesdays he starts a half hour late because he's at Rotary. So we've got that. So what else in terms of Morans for this Moran Monday? Yeah, that's the downside of fireworks. Got a call from our youngest. Her dog was absolutely terrified by the fireworks. Carol just noted, just got home from Barbie's in Iowegia, where fireworks are banned except for sparklers. Her neighbor decided that only commies observe the ban. When the first concussion bomb hit her beloved golden retriever, Asa, you remember little Asa? Well, little Asa is no longer so little. Got scared and headed for the hills. We were up all night looking for him. Barbie cried herself to sleep, thinking she would never see him again. I went across the street within the first hour and told them what they did and that we were looking for the dog. She has a busy highway and railroad tracks right in front of her house. They assured me he didn't go far and continued setting off bombs until 2 a.m. At 5:45, we all went to bed exhausted, and a very subdued Asa arrived home, soaked to the bone, matted with burrs, and limping. We were never so glad to see anyone. Barbie's relieved. I drove back to Hooterville on no sleep, and I'd like to shove the really fun fireworks up her neighbor's ass. There's a Moran for you. And you know what? Maybe it makes sense not to have massive fireworks, you know, where you can scare animals in a state that's, you know, largely dependent on things like livestock. Yeah. Me, I was a little bit nervous about the fact that there are, you know, a couple of fracking wells within close proximity to, but you know, when you go over and you explain to somebody that it's causing a problem, and they say, well, screw you. Nice neighbors, huh? But that's kind of the America we have now, isn't it? You may have noticed that I've lost a lot of interest in the presidential campaign. Because it just seems like, I don't know, I feel like I'm at a Harlem Globetrotters game. without the expertise. You know what I mean? But I guess this being Moran Monday, it's going to be something approaching impossible to ignore the business with Bill Clinton having a little tete-a-tete with the attorney, with the sitting Attorney General of the United States of America, in an airplane on the tarmac at Phoenix's Sky Harbor International Airport. Look, I'm sympathetic to the fact that, you know, we had 6 years of Bill Clinton's presidency in which the Republicans tried to launch a fully funded federal investigation every time he asked what was for supper. I get that. It's very true. But something has happened. Something really had. I know that the Clinton camp thinks that the FBI would not ever dare recommend that her case with regard to the emails be presented to the grand jury. It could very well be that there's no there there. I'd say it's more than 99% likely that there's no there there. But this latest one, it just, man, it stinks. And okay, just so you know, before I get some. Before I get an email saying, you know, you just hate Hillary. No, I don't. I don't like her. I'm free enough to say that. I don't. If I liked her, I would have voted for her in the primary. I didn't like her. I voted for the guy with the progressive values instead. And I can tick off one by one by one over several fingers and probably my toes and possibly even... No, you don't want that. You don't need to do that. Why I supported Bernie. But I try to be consistent. Just because I'm a lifelong registered Democrat doesn't mean that I'm in the business of handing out passes. You know, I-O-K-I-Y-A-C. It's okay if you're a Clinton. So you know what I thought of when I first saw the story, and we really haven't had a chance to talk much about it. When I first saw the story of the completely innocuous, no big deal, nothing to see here, these are not the Clintons you're looking for, move along now, story out of Arizona, I didn't think back to Monica Lewinsky. I didn't think back to any. I didn't think at all about Benghazi. I didn't think about you know, when they asked her, you know, well, did you wipe your servant? She, wipe it like with a cloth, you know, because Hillary does her own dusting. Jesus Christ. No, I thought back to the Dim Leader administration. And I thought back to when John, when Calico John, Crisco John Ashcroft, the man who spent tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars to put a drape over that filthy aluminum titty on the justice statue in the Department of Justice because it offended his Christian sensibilities. And he just got tired of standing at photo ops with a naked aluminum titty hanging over his shoulder. I thought back to when he was laying in that hospital bed. And the loyal Bushies went to lean on him when he was, you know, halfway between here and Norblap 12 on, you know, heavy-duty opioids and various painkillers and so forth, you know, trying to get over an ugly bout of pancreatitis. And I thought about how just plain shitty we thought that was. You know, all of us, you know, progressives, liberals, decent people. How sleazy and slimy it was to try to get a man who was under the influence of drugs to sign off on a torture program. No. Here, John, let me just hold the pen for it. Help you. No, you hold the pen. I'll hold your hand. Yeah, there's a loop and a swoop and down and up and around and round she goes. And here's the H and has a leg and it comes off and up the mountain, down the mountain. Look, we've written John. Now all we got to do is Ashcroft. You know, and poor Ashcroft, for whatever else he was, is laying there in a hospital bed, whacked out of his mind, going, "Is this a calico cat I see before me?" Surely this man was a son of God. And we thought it was just tawdry and nasty, and the torture was bad enough to begin with. And we thought, you know, what a bunch of filthy sleaze merchants these pigs are inside the dim leader Bushy administration. Leaning on the Attorney General to give official sanction to acts that are clearly violations of U.S. law, of the Geneva Conventions, of about 9 million different treaties that we've signed, and which along the way would put our own military personnel at greater risk than they already are. Wow, what a bunch of shitheads. And that's what I thought of when I thought of Bill, you know, Bill heard that Loretta Lynch was going to be landing in Arizona, and hey, just hold up the plane. It's not like we got to meet a schedule or anything. I just want to go over and have a little chat with my old friend Loretta. So he waits a couple of hours, and then and how do you get to do this in an airport in Merca? The greatest country in the history of the world, on earth, in the universe, to now, today, forever, amen, under God, use no hooks. Just swan around on a tarmac. I mean, tarmacs used to be really, really romantic places. I mean, think about that final scene of Casablanca. But now you've got that kind, you know, that jetway thing. And you know, when it's raining, you don't want to walk in the rain. So, you know, it's convenient. But, you know, Bill's just out there. I just thought I'd take a walk out here. I try to get my walking in every day. And so he just ambles over to the Attorney General's plane and goes up the stairway, the air stairs or whatever we call them. And I don't know, pecks on the, you just kind of pecks on the sill of the door because it's open there. Hi, it's Bill. Is Loretta around? Yeah, I just wanted to say hi. Thought we'd talk about our grandchildren and golf for a little bit. And Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General of the United States of America, the chief law enforcement officer of the entire United States,
who is titularly and technically overseeing a criminal investigation, whether it comes to anything or not, of Bill's wife, who, like all other attorney generals, operates on the Caesar's wife standard. You know, avoid at all costs the appearance of impropriety. Says, well, hell yeah, sure. Send Bill on back. I'd love to hear about his grandchildren. Wonder what kind of trust fund they got going now. And we talk about golf, too. I don't know. I haven't heard her enough to know what kind of accent she's got. Meanwhile, Hillary was actually being interviewed by the FBI. Wouldn't you love to have been a fly on the wall for that one? And so they just have an innocent little chat in private. Or, as the Latin fondlers in the legal profession like to call it, ex parte. And we're supposed to think it's okay. Witness here, for instance, Howard Dean over on MSNBC. Howard had kind of a hissy at Alex Witt. Yeah, check it out.
Now, but the fact that she says, you know, hindsight being 2020, perhaps she would have done things differently, is that not enough? If there are not allegations of criminal misconduct here as a result of this report.
But here's the narrative of the Clintons. They get a special pass on things like this. They had lived by one set of rules unlike everybody else. For example, Bill Clinton going on the plane with Loretta Lynch. That's a perfect example. No one else would have seen the spouse of someone under investigation or what they did under investigation with the FBI. She wouldn't have let anyone else on. And again, she admits that she probably shouldn't have done this at her home. And it was probably because her husband was a former president. They thought they had the security procedures in place. But again, playing by one set of rules. And it does play into Donald Trump's issue that the system is rigged. I would caution Donald Trump, though, to be careful in saying that the FBI is rigged because Comey's so well respected. But it certainly does go into that. And I think we're going to see some harshly worded criticism of how this was all conducted by the FBI.
But Susan, with regard to the tarmac issue, I mean, it's optics versus what really was discussed. And I even had Hugh Hewitt on my show yesterday when I pressed him and I said, do you really think that President Clinton went on board that plane and discussed his wife's email server investigation? Or do you believe that really they discussed, as they both have said, golf and grandkids? And he says, of course, I don't think he went on there and discussed it. So why does it continue being an issue?
Because it is, in fact, the optics, and it is the fact that the Clintons have special access. And because, even though President Clinton's the one who put Loretta Lynch on her path, again, which has been tremendously successful, they have a long relationship. But again, anyone else would have been stopped there. The Clintons feel that they are special and should be treated differently. And
okay, before we go much further, that seems a little over the top, maybe. That's Republican strategist Susan Del Percio. And, you know, she's doing the Republican thing. And I'm not entirely on board with most of what she says, you know, that there's... That's what bothers me is it feels a little like and you know, I'm not out there watching Fox News. I'm not out there watching right-wing media. I don't take talking points from the right wing. I deliberately avoid the right wing because I can't stand to stupid. But I see this crap and maybe because once upon a time a long time ago I had a cup of coffee in a law school. I remember second year ethics. and the time we spent poring over the rules of professional conduct. And, you know, there's an entirely separate rules of professional conduct section for governmental governmental lawyers and for prosecutors. For instance, a prosecutor cannot pursue a win, or should not, according to the rules, a win-at-all-costs philosophy. A prosecutor is supposed to actually be interested in the administration of justice. You're not supposed to convict people just because you can. You're supposed to try to convict them because you have sufficient evidence to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that they're guilty of the crime charged. And so that's what I was thinking about. And I was thinking about the fact that, you know, that the husband of the target of an FBI investigation walking onto the plane to have a little chit-chat with the attorney general would never even make it onto as a hypothetical onto the final exam in a second-year ethics class in law school, because the answer is so goddamn easy. The answer is, oh, hell no. Don't try. Even if it's innocent, even if it's completely innocuous, don't do it, because you are going to negatively affect the public's impression of the integrity of your office. Don't do this. No. And I don't know how long Loretta Lynch has been a lawyer. Two L was probably a long damn time ago for her. But after a while, this stuff is supposed to have stuck. So anyway, I'm not much interested in what Susan Del Percio has to say. But what I think we'll both find interesting is the response of Howard Dean, who once billed himself as coming from the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party. Because, you know, I guess Howard's just turned into a good soldier. He will defend anything against all comers, because that's what a good soldier does. Yeah, well, just listen.
That's the narrative that will hurt them.
So Howard, as innocent as it may have been, generally speaking, from a political standpoint, politically, isn't it almost inexcusable?
Here's what's inexcusable. We're spending all this time on television talking about a visit between Loretta Lynch and President Clinton.
Why aren't we talking
about how to get jobs back in America? Why aren't we talking about what we're going to do about health care?
Isn't that called deflecting? I mean, if it's okay, address it and say it's okay. If you're not bothered by it, say, I'm not bothered by it.
This goes on and on. Nobody wants to take this serious issue seriously.
Should Loretta Lynch have known better? I mean, it's hard, I would suspect, for an attorney general to refute a president from coming on the plane. Sure, it's like, hey, what are you going to say? Get off the plane? But should they not?
Well, yeah, Alex, that's what you're going to say. Either you look at Bill and say, you know, this is going to be a problem, let's don't do this, or you have one of your flappers say, oh, I'm sorry, you know, she's in the little attorney general's room. Or anything, and just, you know, send Bill on his way. Because it won't stick to Bill. But it will, Madam Attorney General, stick to you. And it has. And it does. Because, see, she made matters worse when she was interviewed later and said, well, you know, I'm above it all. I will simply do what the career civil servants of the Department of Justice and the FBI recommend. Well, then why the are you the Attorney General? You've just effectively made the career civil servants and the career FBI people the Attorney General by saying you're just going to rubber stamp anything they do. Judgment and discretion is what is supposed to get, and you know, talent, brains, is what's supposed to get you the job. That's what they're paying you the big government dollars for. Not to say, y'all do it. I'm out of here. I'm damned if I do and damned if I don't. Well, she wasn't necessarily until now, but now she is. And as Little Gray pointed out in the chat room just now, funny how Bill has a habit of turning up where he shouldn't be, with Loretta Lynch at a Massachusetts polling place. Yeah.
Not both have known better.
Sure, maybe they should have known better. Maybe all kinds of things should have happened. And maybe Colin Powell had his own private email, and so did Condoleezza Rice.
What?
Can't we start talking about issues that affect the American people in this campaign? How long is this going to go on?
God damn, Howard, this campaign's got... Well, this is the 4th, the election's on the 7th. Okay, I think I can do this with the... We got 4 months. And you know what? We had a primary, and we talked and talked and talked about jobs. And we talked and talked and talked about foreign policy. And we talked about the need for $15 an hour as a minimum wage. And that wasn't okay. And we talked about the need for health care to be a human right, available to every American, even the Americans who are working and don't have access to health insurance in the American Confederacy. And that wasn't okay either. So it's a little disingenuous for Howard Dean to say, when are we going to start talking about these things, when Jesus H. Christ on a Gulfstream 5, we've been trying to talk about them, and every time we raise issues that really matter to the working class, the DNC and the Howard Deans and the Debbie Wasserman Schultzes and the Hillary Clintons go, no, never, ever.
When are we going to talk about substance? When are we going to talk about jobs? When are we going to talk about health care? When are we going to talk about education? When are we...
Now, let me stop. I'm sorry. I know he's in high dudgeon and everything, but I got to point something out here. It's not like the Booker called Howard and said, hey, Howard, we want to talk about jobs and foreign policy and health care this afternoon with Alex, and there'll be a Republican on the other side. The call that was put through was, Howard, can you address this issue about Bill, Loretta Lynch, the plane, the tarmac? It's can you talk about that? And of course Howard says sure. And then he comes on, and when the direct question gets asked, he does this phony baloney high dudgeon thing. And understand something very clearly. This is not a non-issue. I have no problem saying things are non-issues when they're non-issues. The underlying criminal investigation may wind up to have no, as I've said before, and as Stephen Vermont pushed back a little bit. Well, Steve says she walks it back. The fix is in. Hold off any action until after the election. Then we have the possibility of a real courtroom trial as well as the impeachment to keep us entertained. Well, no, there won't be a real courtroom trial, Steve, because you cannot put a sitting president on trial for so much as a parking ticket. They are immune until the end of their presidency. The only remedy you've got against a sitting president is impeachment. So there's that. But Steve continues, HRC is a, Hillary is a terrible candidate, but I can hear the hilarians. What about Trump? He's so bad. Yes, on a scale of HRC and Trump, Trump is worse, being irrational, impulsive, and overall crazy. We've got more on that. But HRC's appearance of rationality and control goes only so far. Bernie spoiled it for everybody, talking about the issues and all. Elizabeth Warren might be a good pick to win over progressives in the general election, but does anyone believe she'll have any influence as vice president and not be buried by HRC? She's much more powerful and effective in the Senate. Her surrogate attacks take the focus off HRC for now, but they seem unnecessary and fueled by caffeine. I like Elizabeth Warren, but she communicates jitteriness. Cable News, MSNBC, CNN, the Clinton News Network have already said HRC will not be indicted. No official report from the FBI yet, though. I guess that's it, then. Hillary reminds me of Richard M. Nixon. The paranoia, defensiveness, and calculating unprincipled self-serving motives are at the root of all her political decisions. A cheap and distorted view of reality, the core of the new Democrat-Clintonism neoliberal ideology, essentially is libertarianism. Socialism for the privileged, rugged individualism for everybody else. Steve. In Vermont. Thank you, Steve. And that's the thing. And Steve from Georgia Stan points out, you know, the equivalency game is getting tiring, Bob. The whole thing's getting tiring. You'll notice I spent, you know, the first half hour to 45 minutes of this program talking about anything but this. And anything but other stuff, too. A little more Howard, and then we'll wrap the topic.
We're going to talk about prison reform.
When Bill Clinton stops doing unforced errors like going on Loretta Rich's plans. No, that's exactly what it was. This was all self-inflicted, Governor.
This is crap. We ought to be talking about serious stuff, not who did what to who. The reason this happens is because the right wing's got nothing on the Clintons, and all they can do is make up stuff like this.
How about this, Howard? I'm curious. Were you surprised or not surprised that the recent Quinnipiac poll shows Donald Trump more trustworthy than Hillary Clinton? I mean, how do you account for that?
Well, I actually don't believe that, because the Quinnipiac poll also showed some really weird poll results around the country. So I think...
Really weird poll results around the country, says Howard Dean. And by weird poll results around the country... He probably means things that don't show things going so well for Hillary, because that Quinnipiac poll, the central number coming out of that, is that on the trustworthiness issue, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini is at 45%. Hillary's at 37. For those of you who like to stay up late nights worrying about American politics, that's a good one. Get the popcorn. And just, you know, one last thing, one of the things that I've said, put out there by some folks, and I understand why they'd say it. Well, here, let's check in with a couple of emails first. Jack in Shreveport, Howard Dean, whom I thought was a pretty decent guy, had the 50-state strategy and all, has been really lame the past year or so, too corporate, blowing off people like Rahm Emanuel did. Who else are they going to vote for? In summary, he's been... Wait a second. I think I've got a... Yeah, I got... In summary, says Jack, he's been...
You dick!
There we go. Meanwhile, coming from Brother Usher Steve up in New York, subject line Howard Dean, you know who started this? Obama. Remember looking forward instead of accountability? This sounds an awful lot like that. And by the way, Steve adds, guess what? This issue does affect the American people. Why? Because it demonstrates that the people who seek to lead us think they get to live by a different set of rules. So, dig it. One of the One of the explanations or justifications or excuses I've seen put forward is, yeah, the optics on this are terrible, but you know what? I would vote for Hillary Clinton if Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch were having sex out on the tarmac, because Hillary Clinton is running against Donald Trump. And the first time I saw that, I read it and went, well, yeah, I get that. And maybe it's time to get rid of the I'm with her slogan. You know, that thing's never really caught on with me. It's always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I think I finally figured out why. I'm with her. Does it bug you? Not she's with us. I'm with her. Not even, you know, Hillary because awesome. Hillary because America. No. I'm with her. And it dawned on me over the weekend why it is that rubs me the wrong way. And this is why. It's too bushy by half. What do I mean by that? It partakes way too much of the whole you're either with us or you're against us mentality of the sloganeering for which the Bush administration became so infamous. No middle ground. Even if you're voting for her and you don't like her, well, that's not enough. Citizen, you need to fall on your knees and worship, because anything else is unacceptable. And I find that revolting. I find it absolutely disgusting that I'm expected to trade in my morals, my ethics, my values, and agree that spending every Christmas with Henry Kissinger is okay, that getting advice from Henry Kissinger is okay, that all the many manifest examples of really crummy, lousy, rotten, terrible, bad, no good, awful judgment she's manifested are all okay. And that is cultish. And I won't join. I'll vote for her. I won't give her a goddamn dime. I won't put a sign in my yard. Because here where I live, West Virginia, where she may very well lose by 9-1, 8-1, 7-1, just voting for her is going to be a radical act. Okay. So, just to finally, oh my God, wrap this thing up. This. The business about even if Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch were having sex on the tarmac, I'd still vote for her because Trump. Man, that would make a great bumper sticker. You know, the Hillary H with the red arrow pointing to the right and just say, because Trump. Or, you know, the Hillary logo with the red H pointing to the right, colon, because Trump. Not because she's awesome. Not because she's a progressive. Not because she's liberal. Because Trump. That's it. It's as much as I got. It's as far as I can go. But let's consider that justification. I would vote for her anyway, even if Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch were having sex on the tarmac. Guess what? That is actually less of a problem than what they did. You know why, right? Because if they blew up an air mattress on the tarmac at Sky Harbor International Airport, and this is going to be tough for the folks in the dinner hour, suffer quietly, and they took to tearing at each other's clothes and a smollicking around on each other, and they threw themselves down onto the air mattress, and it made a resounding kahwump. Everybody would be watching. There would be witnesses. Hell, maybe there'd be a court reporter there to take down every and every and every "you stud." It would all be out in the open. There would be nothing to question about the integrity of the Attorney General of the United States out of that. Because the rules of professional conduct do take into account that lawyers are known from time to time to have sex. Sometimes with their own clients. You know the old joke about the two lawyers walking down the street? One lawyer looks, and there's a beautiful person walking up, handsome, beautiful. We're going to be gender non-specific here because it doesn't require gender. And the one lawyer looks at the other and goes, "Man, I'd love to fuck that." And the lawyer's buddy turns and says, "Yeah? Out of what?" Lawyers. Lawyer jokes. But it would actually be less of a problem. And, you know, we can work up the whole situation. You want the right music and everything. Maybe they put on some Barry Manilow. I'm thinking maybe "Looks Like We Made It." And, you know, maybe they enjoy being watched. Who am I to criticize? It would actually be less of an issue than what actually happened. It is going to take some serious 80-proof brain bleach to get that image out of my head. Bill, out in Montana, says, "Where's John Prine when you need him? Didn't he have a song about blowing up your TV? Blow up your TV. Yep. Reading a newspaper and eating a peach. Good advice these days, in my opinion." Good advice indeed. I need a vacation. Bad. I'm apparently really getting under Steve's skin. I'm sorry, in New York. I'm sick and tired of being told time after time that I need to vote for someone because that person is not someone else. Think about this, Bob. Hilarians have constantly told us it's up to Bernie to bring his supporters around. The notion that she has to convince us to vote for her is not even a part of the conversation. It's all about us being with her, not that she has to be with us. Well, thank you for the affirmation. I said, I need a vacation, and Steve from Georgia Stan said, yes, you do. Bless your heart, Steve. No, I am not going to play Barry Manilow's Looks Like We Made It as our bumper out. That got too much. No. But I hope somehow I've sort of made it clear that this is an issue. Not an issue for Bill. There's not a state bar on earth or in the United States that can touch him because the Arkansas bar disbarred him years ago. But Loretta Lynch, this is a problem for her. And I would like to hope, and I know, hope in one hand, see which one fills up first. But I'd like to hope that this really pissed Barack Obama off. You know, presidents aren't supposed to interfere in the work of the attorney general, but if you're the president of the United States, and I don't give a good goddamn that she's been buddies with Bill for eons and Hillary too. I don't care. She is Barack Obama's attorney general, and he is well within his rights to pick up the phone and say, Loretta, what in the sweet name of were you thinking? Loretta, what were you thinking? I mean, goddamn. I put up with him going after Eric Holder every day of my first term. And now this. Because, see, there's no way out. This is a trick box. There's no way out of this for Loretta Lynch. If the FBI comes back and says, nothing there. Okay, not going to indict. And the right wing yells, see, it was fixed. All it took was one trip onto an airplane. If they come back and say we need to go to the grand jury, it's still the fix. It's already taken care of. Because Loretta Lynch has tainted herself with the appearance of impropriety. And for somebody like the Attorney General of the United States, that stuff does not wash off. No matter how many awesome things she does as the Attorney General of the United States, her bio is going to include at least a sentence about this. And you bust your ass to reach a position like Attorney General, and that winds up being in your bio? Damn! What were you thinking? So, and one last thing about all this. You know, when she was finally questioned about it, she said, well, you know, Bill and I go, we're friends and stuff. You know, we talked about our kids and we talked about golf. You know, just sort of ho-hum, dismissing it. Well, as soon as the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini heard about that, he actually kind of got philosophical. And he said, I love my grandchildren. And I can talk to them about nine or ten seconds. After that, there's not a lot to say. And he continued and said, and I love golf. But once you get past the handicaps, there's not much there either. One, I think that shows a decided lack of interest, and it works true to form, it works true to type, true to character. A whole bunch of lack of give a damn about his grandchildren. You know, one of the purposes, as far as I can figure it out, to the whole grandparent business is to be kind of indulgent from time to time. You know, I got real joy yesterday when the ice cream machine finally stopped. And it'll stop, you know, it stops when the ice cream's made, when the dasher just can't move anymore. I remembered my own childhood. And I hollered for the grandbabies. And I said, this is one of those little treats that doesn't come around very often. And I handed them the dasher. And I hope we don't have any real, you know, antiseptic baby prophylactic pup types out there who are going to go, ew! I said, this is where you get to lick the dasher. Because you can only scrape so much ice cream off that dasher. And, you know, I was getting ready to put the ice cream in another container and put the plastic wrap so it lays against the ice cream, and you put it in the freezer and you let it harden. And those young'uns had a blast licking that dasher. And I had just a little epiphany of joy watching them do it. Because the whole thing with grandparenting is memory making. If you're lucky, you'll be around for a good part of your kids' lives, but you're not going to be around for a whole lot of your grandkids. If things work out the way they're supposed to in the grand scheme of things. So you got to be making memories. And I hate myself that I even did it, but I thought about Trump and his millions or billions or whatever. And I thought, you poor bastard. You got 9 or 10 seconds for your grandkids. And all they're going to remember you for is your money. You poor bastard. So there's that. Note coming in from Clarence. Subject line, sabotage. Hey, Bob, this might be a stretch. I think Bill might be trying to sabotage Hillary's chance. Oh-ho! Well, interesting you'd mention that. Let's not forget the Boston voting poll incident. This guy's a Rhodes Scholar. What's he doing? You're absolutely right about Loretta. Credibility is gone. Interesting you should mention that, Clarence, because I've reached a point where either Bill Clinton is a wrong-footed boob, or he actually gets a bizarre chuckle, giggle, charge out of punkin' Hillary. Look at the missteps from the 2008 campaign. Look at the missteps from this campaign. That almost seems like somebody who's sort of deliberately, you know, hot-footing somebody else.
Yeah, I tell you what. When she gets all worked up and angry, you know, I tell you what, you don't know what funny is. kind of hard not to wonder along those lines. Jim asking, did Clinton support the CHIPS program? To the best of my knowledge, as a member of the United States Senate, Hillary Clinton did support the S-CHIP program, the expansion of the Children's Health Insurance Program. Yes. But that's just off the top of my head. I don't have any research in front of me. So, wow, this turned into a half a show filibobster. Haven't said anything all program long about fundraising, but I will now. I want to send out very, very kind thanks to David in Dallas, who got us started. We try to raise $200 every evening. And thanks to David, we only have $150 to go. If you want to help out, you can run over to headonradionetwork.com, click on the Contribute tab, fill out the fields, leave the one blank about what you do and where you do it, get to the next screen, and that's credit cards, PayPal, all that stuff. For those of you who prefer the United States Postal Service, the mailing address is The Horn, for checks and money orders made payable to The Horn. The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. Thanks very kindly either way. If we can sort of stay out front of things for the first part of July, it makes the last part of July and the downhill run to beating the Swede, which we did last month. Yay, thank you, our buddy Scott in Sweden and everybody who helped us do it. Much more of a simple proposition. Okay, so halfway done with the program. Great gang in the Horn chat room. Good evening to VT Blom and Trey and Tim from LA and Steve from Georgistan, Snork, MG, Little Gray, Lady Tsuki, Laborman, Kentucky, Jules, Jug of Punch, Anatole. Remember, Malloy is away this evening, if I understand correctly, but our buddies at FYINation.com will be going strong as of 9 p.m., so there's live programming at 9 p.m. If you... If you'd like to get involved in the program, if you'd like to contribute your thoughts, you can fire the phones up from anywhere on the planet. Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. And from, then via phone, line 1, 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178. And the stress line, 304-663-4676. 304-663-HORN. On Twitter, at Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid. Bob Kincaid on Facebook, BobKincaid@gmail.com. Short of me standing outside and listening for you to holler, there's not many other ways we can make it possible for you to reach the program. So, yeah, a little break, and then we're back. Fire up the phone lines if you want to. It's Moran Monday, and trust me, we got Morans. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town. shaking what she'd got. Man, when I tell you she was cool, she was red hot. I mean, she was steaming. And that time over at Johnny's place, well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't wanna know, forget her. The boys are back in town. I said, the boys are back in town. The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town. Spread the word. You better let them. That jukebox in the corner blasting out my favorite song. The nights are getting warmer. It won't be long. Won't be long till summer comes. Now that the boys are here again. The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
I played that mainly because I saw a mention of it in the chat room early in the program. Of course, I love Thin Lizzy, all of it. Just Philip Lynott, and wow, yeah. This is More in Monday on the Horn, a special, although not just Monday, but it happens to be Independence Day here in the U.S., I had a note from Ron in the non-tornadic north. We're still here. Yay. Flash flood warning still on, but again, like I said, we're on somewhat higher ground. But it just kind of means stay close, don't leave the mansion. Had a note, like I said, from Ron in the non-tornadic north. He said, 5x5 in the great socialist north, where the prime minister marched and danced in the Toronto Pride Parade. Matter of note, the Pride Parade was stopped for 30 minutes because the LGBT wing of Black Lives Matter held a sit-in at the head of the parade, demanding, among other things, that the dancing uniformed Toronto police withdraw from the parade. We've arrived. With regard to this upcoming November election, the collective American gag reflex, Ron notes, will be sorely tested. Yeah, I'm thinking. I'm thinking I'm going to try to pick up some black market Novocaine spray, or some sort of anti-emetic. I mean, look. Back in 2004, I mustered up a little, more than a little bit of enthusiasm for John Kerry. Because after all, it was a desperate attempt to get rid of to oust the reign of error. Failed. God knows it failed. And you look back and you wonder what would have happened to John Edwards when the news broke about, his enfant de l'affaire. But wouldn't we have been better off without Dim Leader for those other 4 years? Yeah. Note coming, but I can't. I mean, please, Jesus, Hillary, give me something to get excited about. Anything. And, we're begging here. Status quoism, don't do it. Reminder coming in from Jack in Shreveport for later this evening. Tonight, the spaceship Juno has its rendezvous with Jupiter on July the 4th. You think the astrogators make it work out that way? I don't know. Nice note coming in from Glenn in Wales. Thank you for your thoughtful reading of my missive on Brexit last week. Very much appreciated. I was happy to share it, Glenn. I appreciate considered thoughts coming this way. Glenn says, I'm so glad we can discuss things, even have the occasional difference in a respectful atmosphere where we appreciate that there may be different conclusions. They're still geared by an honest wish for the best outcome and for the truest motives. Most definitely not some right-wing perspective, in other words. Hear, hear. And I'll add editorially before I move on to the other paragraphs that of Glenn's note. Was anybody surprised that Boris Johnson decided not to run for prime minister? Because I wasn't. I mean, he was said to be the presumptive, and okay, well, I'll take it. I'm not in a position to that closely watch UK politics, but I took it on face value that that's what he was. But then he announced no, he wasn't going to do that. And you know me, there's always some sort of a sporting analogy. I immediately thought about what happens when a college football head coach who has been head coach for 20 years or so retires. And as a general rule, you don't want to be the guy who replaces the legend. And while David Cameron may be a legend in his own mind, you don't want to be the guy who replaces him. What you want to be in the coaching analogy is the guy who replaces the guy who replaced the legend. So unless Boris Johnson said, I'm not running for prime minister and I'm never going to, which he may have, I don't know, then it seems like a good call on his part. And by the way, what's his name? Nigel Farage? Don't know. Stepped down as head of the UK Independent Party. But I would not be surprised that if after
the new guy screws up, that Boris Johnson comes along and says, now's my time. Meanwhile, let me finish with Glenn's note. Last week on the program, a mention of Alf Garnett came up. That program, Till Death Do Us Part, was not a documentary. True enough. On the contrary, it was specifically to lampoon such views where they were held. For ye of the fascists always with you. Yes, I know. And anyone approaching sentiments along those lines was ridiculed with, who are you, Alf Garnett? For decades. It gave us a good laugh at such people with their transparently bigoted outlooks and certainly took the piss out of mindless nationalism. Best wishes, Glenn. And, yeah, I get that, Glenn. But you know, when it got translated, and maybe this got lost somewhere along the way, but when it got translated to the United States by Norman Lear as All in the Family, what you got, and remember, Norman Lear mined British comedy for years. I mean, Sanford and Son was a takeoff of, what, Steptoe and Son? But when Till Death Do Us Part transitioned to the United States as All in the Family, an interesting phenomenon developed. And that is that all the things that Glenn talks about, where Alf Garnett became an attitude to be lampooned, well, the same was true in the U.S., except, and you know, I can testify to this. Testify. There were parts of the country where Archie Bunker was seen as a no-nonsense, common sense, everyman, workaday American. That clip we played about giving all the passengers on the planes guns. There were a significant number of people in this country who said, oh, hell yeah. And a lot of them sound like that. Well, hell yeah. But see, Archie would not have worked if you had given him a cornpone accent, because it would have played to stereotype. But I think that's worth at least noting. Thanks for the note, Glenn. Thank you very kindly. Meanwhile, like I said, I got a note, speaking of elections, I got a note from our buddy Robert in Australia. Because you may recall, Robert had to run off to go vote. Because in Australia, voting is mandatory. And no one tried to screw with his ability to vote. But I did get a note about 11 hours ago from Robert. Subject line was, still no government down under, up over, as we like to say. Hi, Bob. Hi, Robert. Well, he writes, I don't recall this ever happening before. Usually it's all over by midnight on the day of the election. But here we are 3 days later and there's no result. In Australia, a party needs 76 seats to form a government. As of 2200 hours Monday, Sydney local time, it's Liberal Coalition 66. And remember, that's their right-wingers. Labor 72. Greens 1. Other 5. And that other, those are the ones that give me the creeping nightmares, sweaty nightmares. And apparently the same goes for Robert. He says, my concern at this time, because it's happened before, is that one or both of the major parties attempt to or strike a deal with an independent, and then they spend 3 years trying to keep some loon happy by removing the letter M from the language, if you know what I mean. And I do, and I laughed so hard when I read that the first time. I'm going to join the coalition.
because they promised to remove the letter M. Yeah. But you'd think the Labor Coalition would have the easier time of it. They've got to get to 76, and they need 4, whereas the right-wing liberals need 10. And they've only, if they get the Green and the others, that's 6. Ah, but then there's In Doubt 6. The In Doubts, well, that's what, yeah, interesting indeed. The letter M. I admit it would be very nice if the Australian government would go, you know, labor, because it's really frustrating seeing that their conservative government blather on about how, you know, climate change isn't real in a place that should, you know, at least in theory, take climate change with a brutal degree of seriousness. You know? Okay, so what else at 9 minutes before the hour? By the way, I checked in with Building and Grounds Deacon Brother Gerald to see if he took shelter from the storm as it blew through his neck of the woods. No, he didn't. So, I guess the worst of it passed around, or maybe between the two of us. Used to be a time you kind of looked up and said, you know, a lot of things wrong in West Virginia, but tornadoes ain't one of them. And you sort of cherish that fact. And not so much now. No, not so much. Gerald confirms we're all good here. Good to know it, Gerald. Good to know it. I don't think we're quite ready for hell to yawn wide open again on this poor, beaten, bedraggled, climate change denying state. Again. So let. Oh my goodness! Look, it's our buddy the Angry Indian. Hey, Angry.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. You know, nice little weekend. You know, and we capped it all off by wondering if the house was going to get blown away.
All right. Well, I missed most of the show, but I know it's more and Monday, so where are we at? I heard something about Brexit. What's going on?
Well, I mean, I spent the better part of the program trying to avoid and then eventually jumping into the question of all this business with Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch and the tarmac and... you know, vote for her because Trump.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, Jill Stein's turned out to be a disappointment too. She's all for the Brexit vote, and she was pretty open about this on her website, and then backtracked when people pointed out to her that you know Trump has the same platform. So you know, which side are you on? So then they backtracked from that. And then you have the scandal about the hacker. I believe I sent it to you. The whole bit about the Gucci, whatever his name is, he's a hacker, broke into the DNC thing.
Yeah, Guccifer, yeah.
Yeah.
Talked about that a little bit briefly, but not a whole bunch. But the stuff that the stuff that came out was, you know, interesting. May of 2015, and they're already planning on Hillary being the nominee.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's pretty clear, cut, dried. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the Clinton couple, their backers, probably Rupert Murdoch is in there somewhere. They decided that she was going to win, and by hook and by crook, they're going to make that happen. What's Sanders going to do with this information, though?
Well, I mean, what's there really to do, Angry?
Make a goddamn argument. At least make the public fucking argument. Act like you're trying to win. I mean, since he's, you know, turned around and basically said, fuck it, you know, I guess I can't do anything, but I'm just going to going to try to stop Trump, you know, while all this comes up, but I'm not going to try to be
president. Oh, I saw over the weekend, I saw thin-skinned Hilarians having a poop hemorrhage over a piece in Politico where he said, Bernie said, you know, there's some decent stuff in the platform, but it still needs work. And, you know, what was it followed with? Damn it, he's not a Democrat! Because he said, I oppose TPP. Hillary says she opposed TPP. Why shouldn't there be a platform plank that says the Democratic Party opposes TPP?
Mm-hmm.
And for that, you know, I saw some thin-skinned Hilarian hollering, he was never a Democrat!
Look, man, you got a bunch of fucking crybabies. And I'm saying this, you know, ever since Trump, I mean, not Trump, but we're damn, well, we got Trump because of what I'm talking about, well, what I'm about to raise. Ever since the Bush family was allowed to, you know, manipulate the fucking vote in Florida, and the DNC pretty much being led by Gore at that time, let it happen. We've been dealing with a political and business leadership class that has just been fucking third grade about every goddamn thing. And the electorate is third grade. I'm hearing stupid, juvenile fucking arguments. These are not political debates. These are not political differences of opinion in 2016. I'm hearing grown motherfucking people who should know goddamn better having silly fucking arguments and coming up with names for each other. Bernie Bros. Hillary bots and what have you. You know, and in the meantime, you know, we're stuck in a position where Jill Stein turns out to be a hypocrite. The entire Green Party in the United States has turned out to be
counterparts. I guess she supplies a certain degree of je ne sais quoi for some people.
Yeah.
But I just don't think about her. And let me say, you know, I agree with some of her policies, and you know, they're some of them are good progressive policies. Okay, I mean, but you know, as I've tried to explain, the nature of our system does not admit of third parties. The best a third party can ever hope for is to become the second party and watch the second part while it watches the second party die. So in order for the Greens to succeed, they're going to have to wipe out the Democrats, okay? And there are people out there who go, good, can't happen soon enough, great. Problem is, it ain't going to happen for 50 years, more probably like 1,000. Because the Greens are playing in a filthy, rigged system. Because it is. And you know, they'd have to get what? To 15% in the polls before they even had an argument, to, just because of the way the game is rigged, before they had an argument in favor of being included in the debates? I mean, isn't that about right?
Well, yeah, kind of. But, you know, even though, you know, in the pragmatic sense, I understand what you're saying. You know, but that's the whole fucking point. If another party has to come in and overtake one of them in order to get their platform, it's going to be corrupt going through the entire fucking process. This is why people who are totally surprised that Obama would sign this PROMESA bill and do this, what he's doing to Puerto Rico, I'm like, why are you fucking surprised? He hasn't done a goddamn thing about the white supremacist threat in his own country right under his nose. He hasn't done a goddamn thing about it. He hasn't done anything about colonialism in Africa or anywhere else. He's had, what, a coup in Honduras, a coup in Brazil happen right under his nose. You know, I mean, right under his nose, to the point where we know full well that the United States to some degree was involved. And anyone who says that that's not the case or impossible is a fucking fool. Of course they were goddamn involved. Celaya is not in place for a fucking reason. And then, you know, people are getting angry with me for mentioning Berta Cáceres. Well, you're not a Democrat. I never told you I was a Democrat.
Well, I am a Democrat. Hold the phone, angry. I am a Democrat. It's all I've ever been registered as. I'm not one of those people who saw the light, okay, and quit being a Republican and started being a Democrat. I'm not a former libertarian who's a Democrat, and I'm not criticizing you. Understand, brother, I'm not.
Yeah.
I was raised to be an FDR Democrat by people who got to live into their adulthood because of FDR Democratic Party policies. All right? That is what I was raised to be. That is what I was raised to believe in. And that's what I've always been. And I'm sitting here as a registered Democrat, as someone who has never, ever in his entire life voted for a Republican, saying, I care about Berta Cáceres. And that may seem a little bit pointless, Berta Cáceres being all dead and everything. And so I guess what I'm saying is I care about the next Berta Cáceres in Honduras. I care about all the indigenous and local activists who are trying to protect their very homes against the fascist corporatism that got unleashed by that coup that Hillary Clinton turned a blind eye to. I'm a damn Democrat, and I care, and I will go toe-to-toe with anybody who's, oh, you're not a Democrat. Fuck you. I mean, not you, but, you know, no, I got it. I've earned it. And just because we've got a cadre of Democrats out there who check their morals, check their ethics, and check their values, in order to sign on with a cruise missile liberal because Trump. I mean, I understand that. It's like I said earlier, I'm voting for her. I get shit for that from the other side. But in West Virginia, it's a radical act, angry. I'm voting for her, but don't expect me to pretend that I like it. Just say no. Thank you and move on.
But that's the point that I'm getting to. We're put into a position that if you're a Republican / conservative, right? Because, you know, if you make an argument with these guys, they'll say, well, I'm not the same as this one. Okay, fine. So / Republican / fucking conservative. You're stuck with Trump, whether you like him or not. But, and the majority of them are going to vote, period, their fucking party, because that's what the fuck they do. You know, they're just going to do that. The same thing with Democrats. They're going to vote for whoever the fuck is the head because they don't know what else to do. They don't even think that they have a fucking option, to the point where, why shouldn't we make a fucking option and give ourselves one? No.
Well, you know, but hold on, Angry. And, you know, you and I don't disagree very much, but I am one of those clear-eyed realists where the American system is concerned. There's no room for third parties in the American system. It was designed that way.
That's my point. It was designed that way.
And the only way to change that is to tear the whole thing down.
Exactly.
Because it's structural to the Constitution. And as I've said before, the idea of a bunch of wide-eyed, idealistic liberals marching into the Koch Brothers Arena in Wichita to the convention of the state, saying, "Okay, we're here. We're gonna affirm constitutionally a woman's right to choose, and we're gonna overturn Citizens United." Okay, and you know, their bodies would be found behind a dumpster somewhere after the Republicans and the tea baggers got done with them.
Okay. We understand this. And again, when I say we need to get rid of the system, I'm not talking about throwing it all the fucking way out. That's crazy. Canada has a fucking parliament. Other goddamn governments have been able to fucking do this. That's the progressive way to motherfucking move along so that all members of society get fucking taken care of, especially even the goddamn nutcases in our fucking society can have their little fucking seat or two in goddamn parliament. That's fair. That's fair. If they're going to fucking talk this bullshit about democracy, we don't have one man, one vote. You know, you got the Electoral College, which is set up, as you said, purposely to fuck up every goddamn thing. Then they had the delegates. Then they went to super fucking delegates. PAC. Super PAC. We know that this is a joke. You know, the fucking campaign starts as soon as the last goddamn election is over. The point is, we're not having this discussion.
Because it's entertainment.
Well, yes, but the point is, we're not having this discussion, period. And that's why we got a fucking Trump or we have a fucking Clinton. Both of these fuckers are under goddamn investigation. One for fucking fraud and rape. The other one for fucking, you know, emails and some other shady goddamn shit. Nothing to do with Vince Foster. Nothing to do with goddamn Whitewater. Nothing to do with her husband's fucking philandering. just talking about her being fucking shady and her connections to coups in Libya, to coups in Honduras. You know, that's what the fuck should be goddamn discussed. Instead, the European fucking Union is laughing at the fucking United States, and now everybody's goddamn laughing at the fucking United Kingdom. Because white people are so busy trying to fucking take it back, they're cutting off their fucking noses despite their fucking face. But they're hurting all of us by doing so. And we're not discussing any of this. For black people to have to be pushed into a position to have to vote for Hillary Clinton after calling us super predators and actively pushing her husband's fucking racist programs on top of the coups and other bullshit that she's been involved in and the human damage behind that is fucking degrading. And you know, and to have black people want to argue with me about this, well, we have no choice, we have to, she's going to support us. And it's like, you're crazy. You're not even challenging her. Well, we'll challenge her when she gets into office. And I say, you know what, that's funny. I heard that same shit with Obama. Well, we're going to hold his feet to the fire. We're not going to talk about parliamentary government or any sort of representative fucking system, you know, but we're going to hold his feet to the fire. And then when he gets in office, do nothing but praise him. And when he's racially attacked, just talk about how bad it is, but not to say, you know, this is, says something about the white society in which we're fucking living, that they can call the president a nigger and not be fucking called to the fucking carpet for this shit, you know, and why he's not defending anybody when it comes to police brutality, institutional fucking racism, mass goddamn incarceration, none of that. We're not having any real fucking discussions other than how can we somehow work with what the fuck we have to survive the next fucking election. And it's like that from one election to the fucking next. If we're stuck with Trump and Clinton now and a half-ass activist like Jill Stein, who I lost a lot of respect for this past week, what the fuck is going to happen in the next goddamn election? Are they really going to – I mean, let's talk about Kanye West being run for president. He might as fucking well.
Well, I mean, he said he was in 20, but I mean.
But that's where we're at.
I ain't laying odds for or against. I'm staying out of that card game.
You know, that's where we're at. And if you say anything about that, well, you're against the black man. What am I against him? Because he shouldn't cause? Well, you should be supporting him. No, I shouldn't support him for fucking nothing. We supported Obama like that on blind fucking faith. And I wasn't one of them. I'm on fucking the record for saying that he was going to do exactly what the fuck he's doing. When he had the beer summit, I'm like, if that doesn't tell you exactly how he's going to handle our motherfucking issues, I don't know what the fuck else.
Yeah, but angry, angry, angry. Realistically, and you know, people are probably tired of this too. Realistically, Barack Obama, black or white, was elected to be a centrist imperial administrator. He has an empire to run.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He's going... Race has been mildly a part of his agenda. Most of the people thinking about race are, as you know, the people on the right wing who can't go 15 seconds without saying that god-awful word. In relation to him, I mean, I was standing in the line at the store the other day, and it was, I think, Friday, and there was a guy, I don't know his name, but I recognize him from around here, you know, probably has a Confederate flag, you know, one of those types, and he said, yeah, the country's, I'm 240 on Monday, or at least the country is, but you'll feel like 240 by the time that Obama's out of office. And like I said, something as benign and bland and arguably, you know, unliberal, unprogressive as voting for Hillary Clinton in West Virginia, in a state where you can get blown away in the grocery store line by some goober with a gun, you know, a radical act is, you know, I was standing right behind him, and I'm just sick of it at this point. And I just said, I'm going to miss that man. I'm going to miss him something fierce, considering what we got coming at us.
Well, yeah, but the point is that we're put into that position while we're talking about, remember, this is the 4th of motherfucking July, right? This is the day that I stay home, that my wife and I stay home. There's activities going on all over the fucking place, but we stay the fuck home. You know, her being a Christian Palestinian, me being Native and African, it's like, I don't want to be involved. You know, when 4th of July was called, First off, Francis Scott Key was anti-black, anti-abolitionist, racist son of a bitch who didn't give a fuck about black people, really being fucking enslaved. And he had no respect for those black men who were drafted and fighting for the fucking revolution, right? So, you know, I fuck him and his holiday. When white folks said, oh, you know, we're independent from Britain, what they really said was, this is the day that all Native Americans have lost their goddamn sovereignty. Each motherfucking nation, all of these countries, don't exist any goddamn more. Dissolved. And yeah, you niggas are still in goddamn chains. That's what this fucking day really, you know, fucking means. But since we're going to go with the myth of this shit, you know, we're talking about honest government. Now, yeah, if you want to take into account, like, say, what the fuck, and I hate to put it this way, but let's be straight up. If you want to look at the governments of fucking Africa and Latin America that are sloppily goddamn run, you know, totally controlled by dictators, dictators supported by the West and primarily this country, I should add. Yeah, you know, we live in a garden spot, because in those other fucking places, well, you can talk, you know, some stuff here. Activists do get hanged up, you know, here, you know, pretty bad. Hemmed up, I really meant to say. You know, it's not the same as it is in, say, Honduras, where the person who replaced Berta Cáceres was assassinated like a week and a half later. You know, people are getting killed in Mexico and the Philippines who are reporters and bloggers all the goddamn time. In Yemen, people, you know, have accidents, right? Egypt, they just pick you up off the fucking street out of your goddamn news office. So, okay, you know, when we look at it from extremes like that, we live in a garden spot. But at the same fucking time, we have a man, Trump, who makes an this is like the third or fourth goddamn time he's done this. You know, Judeophobic fucking posts, racist fucking posts. He's openly supported by neo-Nazis.
Yeah, oh my God, this business with the... And I mean, it kind of took my breath away. I admit it. I keep thinking I've lost my ability to be shocked, but you know, then I get. So he sends out this tweet with a star of about Hillary with a star of David over a pile of cash. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And anybody who is any kind of sensitive to that kind of ethnic slur knows exactly what that means. Oh, it's the Jew bankers. And probably the protocols of the learned elders of Zion and the Rothschilds and the Jewish conspiracy. Bullshit. Right, all that happy horse shit. And then whoever's handling his tweets just puts an inartful little circle over it, but the points of the Star of David are sticking out of it, and he says, oh, no, no, that was a sheriff's star. That wasn't a Star of David, that was a sheriff's star. Goddamn lying media out there trying to accuse me of being anti-Semitic. That was a sheriff's star. And the, you know, the brazenness of it. But in many ways, what he's putting to work is nothing but Rovian politics that were introduced to us in, you know, 2000. You know, Rove said, if you're explaining, you're losing. And it's one of the more brilliant things he ever came up with. Trump doesn't explain. Just, no, I didn't mean that. Goddamn. Yeah, that's just a sheriff star, like sheriffs wear on their badges, on their chests out west, yeah, when they're protecting against the Mexican hordes. It's a sheriff star, and everybody, oh, okay. And if you try to press any of his supporters, they don't care. They don't care.
Oh no, it's not that they don't care. They dig it. They've been waiting for somebody like this.
Well, yeah, because there's dog whistling going on here. And there's a certain contingent of this country who goes, yeah, of course that was a Star of David. I know. He knows about the World Jewish Banking Conspiracy. You know, holy crap.
You know, yeah, but again, why is this happening? Well, first off, I've been saying this shit ever since I was a teenager when it became fucking clear to me. The majority of fucking white people in this country are just as goddamn bigoted, because the majority of them fucking, if they really felt that this was fucked up, if they were really embarrassed by this shit, they would say something. But the majority of white people are not saying anything. You know, they're whispering over coffee about, wow, you see that he did that? And it's like, well, if you're upset about it, why don't you do something about it? But when gay people are attacked, you demand that I stop whatever the fuck I'm doing. And it's not that I'm not fucking sympathetic. I've lost fucking, you know, family to homophobia. Friends, the homophobia. I got a buddy now who's got a fucking plate in his goddamn head because somebody decided to get up from what he was doing and take a bike lock and bash my pal because he didn't like the fact that he was holding hands with another male. I mean, that was like 20-some-odd years ago. But the point is, I don't want to hear that. I'm pointing out a fucking reality. The gay community here has a certain political power that they didn't have before. But also, they have big fucking money. David Geffen, when they were first talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, he took out a $500,000 fucking full-page ad in the New York Times to push Clinton to do this. You know, they come from a community where quite a few of those people have money. So, you know, they will do what the fuck that particular community. I mean, it's not even me. David Axelrod said this on Meet the Press. He said, we don't really give a fuck about Wall Street this second election with Obama because we're getting more money from the gay community than we're getting from the business community. That's just what's happening right now. That's not me. That's what he said. So when this thing happened here in Florida, even though, you know, we're getting some really, you know, crazy information about that, this motherfucker was a terrorist for goddamn sure. But he wasn't connected to ISIS. He was mad that he found out that one of the people he was having sex with, one of the men he was having sex with, is HIV positive. And this was his way of goddamn dealing with it, by taking it out on a bunch of people that he didn't goddamn know. You know, which seems to be a meme in this motherfucking country. But we're not discussing this. We're not discussing any of this. When it comes to prejudice, you know, all of that. I can continue to sit here and talk blue in my fucking face. But the fact that we're put into a position where we're stuck between a series of bigots and we're not really talking about how we even got here, we'll be trying to save our asses in the next fucking election. So what do we do? It's like Pat Paulson almost was running every motherfucking election to kind of prove a point. He did it as a joke. But then it got to the point where Nixon got around and it wasn't funny any fucking more. Now, I was a kid, and I don't remember that much of it, but you get what I'm saying, right?
No, I do. I do, absolutely. And, it being the 4th day of July, Independence Day and everything, it's kind of hard to notice that, you know, I mean, the Declaration of Independence, and Dr. Bill, like I said, was just awesome on this earlier today. He brought up again the fact that the Declaration of Independence had, for the most part, been absolutely forgotten, cast aside, not thought about until Abraham Lincoln comes along.
Yeah.
And breathes new life into it via the preamble. And he does it relative to slavery. But if you go back to the original Declaration, you know, it had to be approved. It had to be drafted and then approved by the Continental Congress and then, you know, before everybody would sign it. And it came very close to not being a reality because of one paragraph. When the stirring language, the high-minded stuff that we get all weepy about in what we consider to be a preamble, but as Dr. Bill pointed out, Jefferson did not consider to be a preamble. He just thought it was a part of the document. It was because the document was a whole. After that comes the Bill of Particulars against the king, okay? So the original draft that went to the Continental Congress, and in that Bill of Particulars against the king, was the following language. He has waged cruel war against human nature itself, violating its most sacred rights of life and liberty in the persons of a distant people who never offended him, captivating and carrying them into slavery in another hemisphere, or to incur miserable death in their transportation hither. This piratical warfare, the opprobrium of infidel powers, is the warfare of the Christian King of Great Britain. And it goes on from there. In other words, a pretty resounding condemnation of the slave trade and slavery generally, right? Well, that gets back to the Continental Congress, and you know, certain members of the Continental Congress, say your South Carolina delegation and your Georgia delegation, stand up and say, "Well, we could never sign off on this. Yeah, the Negro was graced by God to be enslaved by us, so we could bring them the tender mercies of Christianity." Okay, so gone is the slavery language. But guess what? The rest of it, it stays in. In particular, what stays in is this. He has excited domestic insurrections among us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless, capital letters, Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. The Continental Congress, from north to south, had no problem with that whatsoever. When, for the most part, you're talking about the northern tribes, who were among the most civilized human beings on the planet, and God knows more civilized than the white people who tried to run over them. If there was anything to be said about how they waged warfare, they waged warfare like the white folks waged warfare against them. And so it tells us something, that gets left in, but the slavery part is, oh, that's intolerable. You know, and meanwhile, there's another line in there somewhere. The grievance is, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses. I wonder if the people being the white folks being transported beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses were laying one person next to another head toe, and chained so that they couldn't goddamn move. No, they weren't. So there's more than meets the eye here, and when you go back to to the system, and the Declaration of Independence isn't even law. Okay, I love it when Republicans say quote the Declaration as founding law of this country. It isn't. The founding law of this country is the Constitution, and the Declaration does not partake of it one iota. But, you know, the way this country comes into being is not, you know, is not without issue. You know what I mean?
Well, it shouldn't. You know, I mean, we're supposed to be able to discuss everything and be able to look at how you got to, you know, from point A to point B. But who the fuck wants to do that? Because then you got to talk about how many people got their throats cut on the way up, how many people were cheated, how many invasions, you know, how many robberies of national treasuries of other countries. I mean, Woodrow Wilson sent the Marines twice to rob the treasury of the fucking banks of Haiti at gunpoint. They took gold.
Yeah, under the command of one General Smedley Butler, I do believe. And on one of those trips, he got himself a Medal of Honor. Maybe it was Nicaragua when we were robbing them.
I think it was Nicaragua, yeah, because they tore apart a... the Vanderbilt family had a ship there at one point, a yacht, and they tried to charge docking fees. And for that offense, they lit up an entire town. They lit up an entire town. I mean, that's documented. That's not me. That really happened.
No, I mean, and Smedley Butler makes no business and makes no bones about talking about these things. You know, in War is a Racket.
Yeah, but what happened to him when he started talking about what was really going down?
Yeah, bye, Smedley.
You know, with the DuPont family and the Bush family. You know, how many other names, you know, can come up?
Oh, they were all there. And Congress said, ho-hum.
Well, not at first, because they were ready to, you know, do something if they thought it was communist or something. But that wasn't the case. They wanted to copy what they were seeing.
No, but by the time the dust settled, the Congress gave it a great big yawn because it was just good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing capitalists.
Well, come on. I mean, even Eisenhower, he told everybody on the way out, oh, even though I got this started because I was kind of under pressure to do so by the pressure of the office, look, man, they're taking over. And they're going to be doing all kinds of wars and bullshit because it's good business. And it's a military-industrial complex, and you can't let it happen. So it's not like the public here wasn't told. It's not as if mainstream Mr. and Mrs. White Man, Mr. and Mrs. Smith was not told by Ike, somebody they could believe in, Allied commander, joint commander, fucking World War II, right? Conservative, golf player. Nobody cared too much about, what was that woman's name, his driver?
Yeah, right, no.
You know what I'm talking about, that little scandal he had, you know.
Yeah.
outside of that, there was nothing negative about the men. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, my parents were Eisenhower Democrats. You couldn't say anything negative about him.
No. The Democrats courted him as hard as the Republicans did.
Because he was a progressive Republican, and he said that. He actually is on record about saying this about black people. He says, you know, keeping them from working is doing what? You know, forcing them to do bullshit where they got to feed their families, and then that's another problem. You know, so he's like, why not let them fucking work? He and Barry Goldwater both were challenged in the GOP about that. Goldwater said the same thing. You know, so did Lester fucking Maddox. You remember him? Fucking restaurant, you know. Let the niggas work, you know, because at least if they got jobs, they're not fucking with us. You know what I mean? Let them work, you know, but the others like, nah, we don't want to give them nothing. But we don't want to give poor whites anything either. So what we do is we'll cheat both of them, but we'll tell the poor whites, well, you need to hate the niggas because they're the ones that, you know, we gave Charlie a job and he's got a couple of boys over there. So, you know, we're giving them all kinds of work when really that's not the case. We're not hiring you because, frankly, you're just as uneducated as they are and you're useless. And I got my own prejudice against what I call white trash. But I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to turn you on them because we learned after Shay's Rebellion, we got to do shit like that. We can't let the oppressed people get together because they might get together and kick our asses. You know, but one of the things that we can do to fucking bring in Shay's Rebellion is for us to start realizing that I understand where you are, you know, in Appalachia, voting for Clinton is a radical act. You're right. But we have to start thinking locally as well as nationally. If I do this, how does this affect these people over here? And how does this, you know, affect all of us? Because, like, when you talk about the environment, where does the East Coast get most of its water from? There's a coal dungeon. You can't just think locally. These communities have to think about, well, I don't give a fuck about what's happening in Appalachia. I don't live up there. Yeah, but you get your water from there.
Well, it all kind
of downdraft of the air.
Yeah, it all kind of starts here.
You know, I mean, that's the argument I make with a lot of people. Well, I ain't Chinese. I don't give a fuck what's happening over there. Well, you should, because if they close that particular fucking factory and they have to start doing such and such, they're going to start pulling from Africa. You talk about Africa, don't you? Well, China's in Africa, too, doing the same sort of fucking ripoffs. But we're not looking at them because they're Chinese. So the idea is they're not white. So it's not the same oppression, right? See, we got to be fucking clear about what's happening by first taking out, you know, us, you know, me, this whole, you know, this id a priori out of the situation for a bit and saying, okay, well, how does this fucking work for every goddamn buddy? I mean, look at this actor, Jesse Williams. He made a fucking correct on-point speech about racism in the entertainment community. And now he's about to lose his fucking job. They're ready to cut him from his contract for this shit. That's why nobody talks about any goddamn thing, because you pay a fucking price. That's why the average white person who really isn't a bigot does not say any goddamn thing when bigotry happens, because, well, the other white people are going to turn on me. It might not happen, but the idea of that peer pressure keeps the majority of white people in line. So while we like to say that, you know, there's this hardcore, of course, that likes, you know, everything that Trump is saying without question. Well, there's a lot of other people that have their fears and they'll support that bullshit if they think it'll keep, you know, the rabble in line. This is why he's getting the support that he's getting. And then on the other hand, you got folks who are totally fucking afraid of him and they'll vote for Clinton simply because she's not Trump. Even though she's just as fucked up as he is. Don't they share a goddamn tax haven address someplace?
In Delaware, yes.
In Delaware. So, you know, they're no different from each other. No, really. I mean, she's for the TPP. Then she was against it because of pressure. But like you just said, Sanders is saying, why not put that on the goddamn platform? Well, we can't do that. But then you're not serious about it. No, I mean it. You just have to take my word for it. You know, I mean, I don't give a fuck about the Vince Foster bullshit. And I get offended when people throw that in my face. And it's like, have you seen me push anything like that? No, you can actually go on my goddamn Twitter account and find what I've posted, the, you know, antidote to that. But, you know, ask about the TPP, ask about Berta Caceres, ask about Honduras, ask about Libya. Why don't we ask about, you know, fracking in Europe? Why don't we talk about these goddamn things? You know, there's no discussion about that because they don't want to talk about super predators. Because, see, if Trump had said super predator,
you know that the white liberal majority will be using that as
Would be disgusted. And that's why I brought up in talking about the Loretta Lynch thing. That's why I said that the first thing I thought about was back when you remember when John Ashcroft was all sick in the hospital.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Half out of his mind, you know.
Yeah, didn't they force his signature?
And they tried to make him sign off on the torture memo.
Yeah, they tried. That's right.
And every liberal, every progressive. I mean, there was nobody out there going, "Well, you know, I mean, sometimes you got to do that kind of thing." And no, everybody was disgusted because it was disgusting conduct. I mean, nobody liked John Ashcroft, but for once, he did the right thing by telling them to piss off.
No, that was the second time he told them to fuck off. There was a leak that came out that they were having a meeting about what they were planning to do. And he said, you know, history's not going to look good. No, to this effect, you know, history's really not going to look good on this because it was really a total erosion of civil liberties, you know. And he's like, he was the only dissenting voice. They said that he was the only dissenting voice at this table, that everybody else was just like, okay, yeah, let's do it. So when they tried to make him sign on that retroactively, because
yeah, but just to sort of stay with the idea, everybody on this side found that unabashedly, no questions, no qualms, disgusting, immoral, unethical conduct. To lean on, you know, to lean on an AG that way. Well, you know, at least we knew the content of what was going on. Whereas with this thing with Loretta Lynch, nobody knows what was said. Maybe it was as innocent as a newborn lamb. But the appearance of impropriety is there, and it matters, Angry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and while you got here a little bit late, you know, the bottom line for me is, you know, there's not a lot to be said about Bill in it. Bill was just behaving billishly because, you know, there are no rules for Bill Clinton. that's why I'm Bill Clinton. But there are goddamn sure rules for Loretta Lynch. And one of them is to avoid the appearance of impropriety. And if this had happened in a Republican administration, every progressive, every liberal talker, commentator, broadcaster would be hollering for that attorney general's head on a platter. Now, why? I mean, is that the game we're in, Angry? Is it just a game, and it's all just partisan politics, where we'll blink at something that would send our outrage, it would peg our outrage meter and break the glass if it was the other side? Is that what it is? Because I can't play in that game.
Yeah, but one of the things you got to understand from what I'm hearing already, you know, the little bit that I've heard people talk about it today, it just seems that a lot of folks don't understand the whole of it. They know what they know, and can I keep my job, and can I pay my bills? They're not thinking that is it improper for an attorney general to have a private meeting with somebody, you know, with the spouse of somebody who's under investigation, especially if this man was
a former president of the United States. And how in God's name is the answer to that in any way, shape, form, or fashion, no, there's no problem with it?
Easy. Because you have a lot of fucking folks, and I'm talking about black folks right now, because I can't speak for white people, but I assume it would be the same thing to some goddamn degree. They like Bill Clinton, so they don't see a big fucking deal. These are the same fucking people, if I ask them, does, you know, Obama deserve a Nobel Peace Prize? They'll say yes. And it's like, based on what? Well, they gave one to the other white dude, so he deserves one too. They like Bill Clinton. He met with the sister from the attorney general's office. I'm telling you how people got this. And, of course, the Democrats don't want to say anything because it's a detriment to admit that this is an improprietary action, that, you know, that this is happening. I mean, really, what it comes down to, and people really have to – I learned this from folks, you know, as a hack journalist, right? From folks who really can go to these meetings and be part of the press corps and take and listen to the questions and answers. You would be surprised. Some politicians and some administrators really are. They got caught. That's all. If we're really going to sit here in the United States in 2016 and believe that there's not secret meetings like this, we're all fucking as you not for. They just got caught. For some goddamn reason, they didn't even try to really fucking, you know, be discreet about this shit. And now it's a fucking problem for them. But like you're saying, you know, the Republicans are going to bring this up because they're looking for all kinds of federal corruption that they can point to so that they can say that the government is so bad that you got to send in somebody like Trump to wipe you clean. The white supremacists have been seeing that since the John Birch Society. But the DNC is not going to say, well, we should have snapped Sanders up a long goddamn time ago because he doesn't have any scandals like this riding his goddamn back.
He's yeah, got but he's no use to the DNC, okay?
Yeah, of course. Which goes back to what you were saying earlier.
Because
we have
a two-party system
and we have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Right?
And I'm getting seriously ugly lightning going on outside right now. So if we disappear, that's why. But let me just throw something out there because it deserves mention. You know, like Willie Loman's wife said, attention must be paid. This past Friday, in what qualifies, I think, as a classic news dump, Barack Obama confirmed that the United States, during his tenure in office, has, and I don't know an appropriate word than murder.
Murder, yeah.
We have murdered 116 innocent people.
That we know of.
That they're willing to talk about in drone strikes. Now, okay, not murdered. How about voluntarily manslaughtered? That's still a felony.
Well, involuntary, just, really.
No, it was voluntary because somebody was out there meaning to kill people and pushed the button.
Well, see, well that's one thing. Before you go further, there were a couple of articles that I saw. Now, this was from the Defense Industry News, and I can't remember the exact source. It might have even been military.com where I read their reposting or reprinting of this, that the Pentagon was asking at one point for permission to use automatic, in other words, the computer would make the decision on what a target was and what a target wasn't. And, you know, of course, there was some real debate on this because what if, like, kind of like the Terminator, you know, the thing decides that you are the fucking, you know, unfriendly. What do you do with that? I mean, I don't know if you remember doing the first when they started reporting about what was happening in Afghanistan. There were quite a few errors, friendly fire errors, you know. And a lot of those were human, but some of them were from a new computer system, if I remember correctly, reading in the New York Times at the period.
Oh, so, at one point in time in Afghanistan, it seemed like we were targeting weddings more than we were targeting the Taliban.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, because what was the criteria?
But, you know? But we can't just kind of breeze past this because that's 116 people who had mothers and fathers. And brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and kids and cousins and neighbors and friends and people that they went to mosque with, okay? And so there's a sort of multiplier effect that takes place. Oh yeah. My brother Mahmoud. The Americans killed him one day. When he went to the store for a jug of milk, and that's gonna stick to us for a very 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 long time.
Yeah, but this isn't news outside of the U.S. though. This is only shocking to people here. This is taken.
Well, it's
for
not
granted.
Shocking to me, but it's news anywhere because Barack Obama admitted it. and see the news story, I'm sure the news story, the way it plays on the other side angry, is my friends, the Kenyan Muslim usurper, Barack Obama, has apologized for killing 116 of those people over there. Why does he hate America?
Oh, yeah, of course. But you can never prove a negative to somebody that's already made their mind up. You know, no matter what he does, you know, just like, for example, I would really like it if the DNC was trying to fucking win. You know, remember when he was running the first and the second time? They kept connecting him to Bill Ayers. They were just in the same room, I think, for like an hour or something, and they were on the board or something. And I've been on boards. You don't know the people necessarily who are on the board. You only see them like three times a fucking year, maybe, you know. And usually things are quorumed, and, you know, it doesn't matter if you got down there. And they've already made their mind up any fucking way and probably don't want you there for the vote. You dig what I'm saying? Because it isn't personal. I don't know you. You're not a pal of mine. Now, you do have boards that are like that, but it depends. So, but they didn't really know each other. Now, yeah, the weathermen, they did what they did. But nobody's thought about the fucking weathermen since the 70s. Or until the last one of them turned herself in or whatever the fuck. So they kept connecting him to terrorism. They kept playing on his name. Well, Donald Trump's connected to the fucking Klan. There's a new goddamn organization that just popped up in Sacramento, California. You know, neo-Nazis that said that they're going to protect the Trump people at every rally in California, that they basically have a fucking army. The Klan is a goddamn terrorist organization. They are officially, all of them are endorsing Trump. So it's like, what the fuck? Is the DNC not going to say any goddamn thing? But they waited till the Star David thing popped up with Hillary before they started really pressing these buttons. But they're still not really pressing these buttons. And what's up with the Jewish community? Are they supporting Trump and his motherfuckers?
Well, and you know, there's the question of, you know, what is Hillary's commitment to free speech, insofar as she wants she's in agreement with quashing the speech of anyone who suggests that BDS is an appropriate response to the occupation of Palestine.
Yeah, well, that's a good one. But then think about the black people who asked her about super predators. They didn't have freedom of speech. Matter of fact, how about the black man who stood up and said, I did more than a goddamn dime for a crime I didn't motherfucking do because I was racially profiled. And if it wasn't for white people that stuck by me as lawyers, I would still be in prison. He was like, well, what about what you said? You know, how does that apply to somebody like me? They basically fucking told the man to shut the fuck up. That's the freedom of speech that she believes in. Yeah, she said flat out, if you are supportive of BDS, then you are fucking anti-Jewish. And then Cuomo passed that most draconian goddamn fucking anti-free speech law that's got to be in American fucking history. To say anything at all about the politics of Israel, to say that the Palestinians even have a right to fucking exist, means that you're an anti-goddamn Semite to these motherfuckers, and they won't do business with you. That's fucking outrageous. That's outrageous. They just approved this morning a whole new fucking slew of settlements in total goddamn violation of not just international law and all the different fucking agreements that they have with the United States, which is bankrolling their goddamn entire fucking society. They can't pay for black people to fucking be able to have clean water in Flint, Michigan, but we're paying for fucking welfare in Israel and paying for their entire goddamn defense while they run a socialist fucking government.
And by the way, and while they quietly, while they quietly fly asylum seekers to Uganda.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know, it's the only democracy in the Middle East. You know, they're the only people that allow
a bastion of democracy. A bastion, I tell you.
Yeah, you know.
Let's see.
All of a sudden,
around 45,000 African asylum seekers are in Israel. About 92% of them come from Eritrea and Sudan.
Thought it'd be more.
If they don't get their asylum or their work permits in Israel, they get deported. Over the past 2 years, 3,000 Eritrean and Sudanese asylum seekers have been ejected. They weren't sent back to Eritrea or Sudan. but under a deal that is mostly secret, they get shipped off to either Uganda or Rwanda.
Yeah.
Now, and Israel provides aid, you know, guns and money.
Keep going.
Guns and money to Uganda and Rwanda in exchange for accepting these tragic members of the human species.
Uh-huh. That's right. So they could not do this without assistance from these African dictators that I'm talking about to run these crummy-ass motherfucking governments. They're pocketing money. They have fucking Swiss and Belgian goddamn bank accounts. They fucking rip off their goddamn populations. And when there's no bread in the goddamn stores, they say, well, we got to go back to church or back to the mosque and get rid of all of the fucking gay people. And that will bring back the jobs and everything else, even though they're not doing a fucking thing but selling every motherfucking resource possible to any fucking buyer below the market price, provided that they get a cut and their fucking cousin gets a cut. And their wife is allowed to go to motherfucking France and shit with the diamonds and whatever the fuck they're taking out sewn into her goddamn dresses. I know the fucking tricks. I've been, you know, doing this shit for too long, writing about this. Fuck no. You know, this is where the fucking world is going. We got the fascists winning in India. We got Brexit fucking happening in the goddamn UK over the same attitudes that we're talking about right now. We got South America again. It was making progress, and then all of a sudden people started getting cancer. All of a sudden I thought maybe, you know, they were going to leave Brazil alone. But as soon as she got in, Obama went down there to fucking say, okay, wait a minute, we can't let you change the program. We couldn't work with Lula because Lula was a radical motherfucking left-wing priest. You know, we know that you, whatever, what's your price? And even she played ball with them just like fucking Salaya, and she's gone. Same thing with Muhammad, Gaddafi. I mean, look, I'm not going to fucking demonize the man. I mean, he had his negatives. But he did try to do something for the fucking government, you know, for the continent of Africa. We have to give him credit for that. And he told those Arab leaders, if you don't play ball with these motherfuckers, next thing you know, your head is popped off.
Well, see, I mean, after all the needling and you know, that we went through, Gaddafi finally knuckled. And he said, okay, I'll make a deal with Europe and the United States.
Yeah.
And for that, and for that, he gets killed.
I mean, come on. If you really look at Lockerbie, if you really, really look at Lockerbie, especially after this last one just passed, one of them, McGahey, I think his name was, you find out that Libya had nothing to do with that goddamn thing. Nothing. All of that information was fucking questionable. They wanted to put Libya on the fucking hook. And then you had that case where they had a trial. Where they had all of these, I believe they were from Romania, where they were accused of purposely infecting Libyan children with HIV. You know, I mean, they pretended that wasn't really happening. And then I didn't believe it at first until I started reading the African news. And I'm like, well, you know, he started to make a point. And then the French news was saying that something did goddamn happen. That this seemed like they were trying to purposely undermine their government by trying to get the fucking people sick. And nobody really believed it, including myself, until it came out that the Bayer company, which is based in Germany, the same people that do the aspirin, had sold HIV-tainted blood products to Spain, some other parts of Africa, basically third world countries and shit that were trying to get blood products on the cheap because they don't have much money. They're paying off IMF and World Bank loans and shit, and they need motherfucking blood products. And they knew that these blood products were tainted with HIV, and they sold them to these fucking populations anyway, and these people got sick. And nothing was fucking done to Bayer. They passed they made an official apology and moved the fuck on. So this is the type of world that we're dealing with, where a libertarian will say, well, if Bayer did something like that, well, we don't need regulation. They'd just go out of business because nobody would use their products anymore. With a straight face.
Well, here's an interesting little twist for you. The president of Uganda is, of course, Yoweri Museveni.
Yeah, a fucking idiot.
Well, I guess we're going to drive that nail a little harder right now. So, Bibi Netanyahu has arrived in Uganda for what they're calling an African summit. This is where the the checks will be passed out for allowing Israel to quietly ship them undesirables.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the 40th anniversary of Operation Entebbe.
Yeah,
which is why this is all going down.
Yep. Especially not Netanyahu wants to take full advantage of this. His brother led the raid.
Right, right. This is where Netanyahu waves the bloody shirt. So in his address, in his welcoming address, President Museveni said, "The sad event 40 years ago turned into another bond linking Palestine to Africa. I said this is yet another bond between Africa and Palestine because there were earlier bonding events."
Like the Uganda plan?
Well, but the whole thing is he called Israel Palestine, and Israelis on Twitter lost their minds.
But you know why that happened, don't you? Because Museveni is no, I wouldn't say he was a supporter of the Palestinians. In any way, shape, or form. Unless there's something going on that I'm not aware of.
Here's the funny thing. I mean, it only gets better because the idea that Israel is some sort of open democracy is becoming more and more laughable every day. Because guess what happened? According to Israelis on Twitter, and I'm looking at a Voice of America story, okay? American propaganda. This is a Voice of America story that Clarence sent to me. Israelis on Twitter reported that the Israeli radio broadcaster cut off the speech before it ended.
Hmm. Are you surprised? I'm not surprised.
Oh, hell no, I'm not surprised.
But what I want to point out is, and I could be wrong about this, but you got to understand something. I've spoken to enough Africans here. They don't know what's going on, really, in Israel. It's a place where Africans go to look for work. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they don't know really what's going on, and they identify Palestine with Jew, not Arabs. So I think it was a slip of his speechwriter, and that he was just reading that.
Well,
out.
A PR flack for the Ugandans said the whole of that land was originally known as Palestine. So Museveni's reference isn't wrong.
See, and I didn't even see that, but yeah. Because they don't know the politics there. I mean, look, I like to think that I'm fairly versed on what's going on in Ireland. I mean, I know that there's, you know, the Protestants and the Catholics, and I know that there's the Ulstermen. But I'm not Irish, and I know what I read and what's been told to me, and I have to suss out from that. You know, I don't know the real ins and outs. So, you know, they have an idea, but just like you said, I assume that as much. They didn't mean any political support for Palestine. They were trying to be factual. And went back to the ancient, you know, name of the region. So, but yeah, you know, they're going to have a fit about that. You know, I'm not surprised. You know, it's just one more reason to make the argument that they need to put up a settlement on somebody else's land and violate, you know, all sorts of human rights rules and so on. And the fact that they're Jews doing this to another people, you know, who had nothing to do with the goddamn final solution. You know, I mean, if anything, they deserve a piece of Germany, a piece of goddamn Croatia, you know, not Bavaria, maybe, you know, not goddamn Palestine. I mean, one does not have anything to do with the fucking other. But again, that's not discussed. You know, we don't discuss Hillary Clinton too much in a serious way. We don't discuss Trump and how the fucking, you know, RNC, we're allowing them to pretend that this is an accident, that Trump is an accident, that they had... You know, we don't understand how anybody like him could have risen. We don't know. You know, we don't know. It's like colonialism. It's the 4th of July. We don't know how white people took over America. We're just scratching our heads and trying to figure it out.
You know, it was a vast and empty continent just waiting for the hand of God as manifested by white folks.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we don't know how it happened. You know, like the British. What did they say? You and I both know this. The British Empire was an accident. Remember? That's what they told me in school. They said the British Empire was an accident. They just found themselves of all of these colonies and didn't know what to do with it. So then they developed the idea of spreading British culture
because before that, we didn't know. We just ended up in Ireland. You know, we don't know how we ended up in India. We just, it just happened.
Just drifted with the current.
Yeah. You know, next thing, just like the Vikings coming down and tearing up everything over here, we just, you know, it just happened. The only thing is the Vikings said, yeah, we came and robbed and raided and set up forts and did what the fuck we wanted to do until you pushed us out. Yeah. You know? But see, you can't have a narrative that talks about peace and justice, though, if you talk about doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Angry, it has been, as it ever is, a lovely conversation. And okay. I'm happy not to have been blasted by lightning in the last half hour of the program.
There's always the fireworks display to happen around you. Somebody
well,
can
yeah, this is the natural variety. There won't be any real ones. Or there won't be any man-made ones, I should say. These are the real ones. So I think I'm going to go and hide under the bed now. But it's good to hear from you, and I hope we talk soon.
And all right. Tell Agnes and everybody else that said hello. And for you listeners, especially the new ones that I hope I'm turning on to this show, I know I got at least a couple of people in Australia that are listening to this. Do what you can. Let's keep this kind of radio on the air. Go to headonradionetwork.com. See what you can do. Offer a coin or two. Help Bob out. Peace.
Thanks, Angry. Bye now. Angry does that much better than I do. But thanks again to David this evening for helping us with fundraising. That's David in Dallas. Thank you very kindly indeed. $150 to go this evening. And hopefully that'll happen, you know, maybe overnight. Thanks to all of our subscribers. It was our subscribers who finished off or helped finish off Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. So that got met again, which is wonderful. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time in joining in this conversation, however you do. Another shout out to our Ukrainian contingent, Ukrainian members of the Horn Family Community Congregation. Hi, y'all. Thanks to everyone who keeps this on the air with your kind contributions. Thank you to our, thank you very kindly to our all volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know. The men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you.